Why is it that the majority of evangelical Christians in the U.S. support Israel so faithfully and so strongly? Why would we bring this question up right now? Because as you've probably seen and heard on the news already, this is what has been going on inside of Israel, as there have been struggles like we haven't seen in a number of years. Of course, this has gone on for thousands of years. And we're going to talk about that here just a little bit. But as you can see in the video here, representing what's going on in just now, and even probably while we speak, there has been attacks back and forth. Israel has retaliated after Hamas, the Palestinian terrorist group, has just pounded Israel with rockets, and they are defending themselves. And there has been a lot of struggle going on lately. Why is it? Why is this going on? And why is it that Christians support Israel like they do? We're going to find that out today. Listen in, watch, and let's get the answers from God's Word. Once again, I want to thank you again for joining us and making this ministry, Truth Unbound, an important one that can be a life changer for some. And in order to do that, we need to invite others to be with us. I am grateful that you're listening. And if you could do this, if you could hit the like button, in other words, like this program, whether you're listening to it here on Anchor FM or on Google Podcast, however, what other survey, Apple Podcast as well, we're on there now. And just like the channel and also the episode and share it with everyone you can. So subscribe and share. And I appreciate hearing back from you as well. You can email me at info@truthunbound.org. All right, let's get on to it. Hey, I'm so glad that you chose to join us here at Truth Unbound. Again, I'm your host, Walter Swaim, and we're going to get right into the subject at hand. The question was this, is why does Israel receive such historically long, faithful, and strong support from evangelical Christians in the West, especially in the United States? Well, here are the biblical reasons why we do. The first reason we do is it's a biblical reason. In fact, they're all from the scriptures, and it's plain reading. Let me point out to you here, and this is one of the key verse and the foundational verse of everything that we have to talk about concerning Christian support of Israel. And that is right here in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. He says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You see, the first reason is because of a literal rendering of the scriptures that tells us specifically here concerning the land that God was going to give Israel and that it occupies in part today, is the land that God originally gave to them was not only for then, but also to the Jewish people forever and ever. And so this is one reason why we support this. And look again, he says here, let me point it out to you one more time. He says, look, he says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. He makes it clear here that this is what he intends to give them. In fact, also look over in Genesis chapter 15. Sometime later, God describes for them what land that he intends to give them. He actually tells them, describes the boundaries of the land that is going to be theirs eventually. It says here in Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, "On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.'" And so we have a good idea generally of where each of these lands, these nations, these tribes occupied in the Middle East. And so now we can draw a picture even of what that looks like. All right, so in this graphic right here that I'm going to bring to you, you can see a map clearly as to where Israel's border is today, right here where I'm showing the little indicator. And where Israel is at. And also by the red lines, we see what the actual land, as described in Genesis chapter 15, the actual land, the outline of the actual broader land that is really Israel's, given to Israel by God. And so that draws us a picture clearly of what God was giving to Israel then and forevermore for the kingdom of Israel to be established under God's authority. But you see, it's more than just a piece of land, no matter how big it is. There's more to the promise that God gave Israel, and it's another reason why evangelical Christians who honor the plain literal reading of the Word of God, why evangelical Christians like that support Israel so strongly. Here's reason number two. It's right here for us, right in Genesis chapter 3, and this time we're going to read specifically verse 3. It says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The second point and the second reason why evangelical Christians by and large support Israel as a nation, as the people of God, is that God promised that those nations that mistreat Israel will themselves be cursed by God, no matter who they are. Now, this promise right here contained in Genesis chapter 3 from God to Israel has not been withdrawn. There is not one verse in any of the rest of the Bible that indicates that God has rescinded or taken away this promise to them. It remains. And today this verse still stands. And any nation, including the United States, it is advantageous to any nation to be friendly to Israel. Israel itself has aided dozens and dozens of nations throughout the years, and even to this very day, around the world. They have helped them with medical aid. They have helped them with irrigation systems, even down into Africa, water management. They have helped in disaster relief, in aid with technology, and more. They have helped numerous of nations across the world. And this also means that Israel has a right to defend itself, and to defend itself decisively when attacked by nations who seek their very destruction. Look at what God says here further down in the Old Testament through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 30 and in verse 3. He says, For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And so this third reason, based on Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 3 and numerous other scriptures that we don't have the time to cover in this podcast, and that is that it is a prophetic reason. In other words, God's promise for what is still to come in the future. In other words, God clearly, number three is this, that God clearly will fully restore the land to Israel when he returns and when he establishes his literal millennial kingdom reign from Jerusalem himself, physically there, reigning from there over all the world. Now, we have already seen partial fulfillment of this happen, of Israel returning to the land that God had gave them originally thousands of years ago. When Israel became a nation again in 1947, right after World War II, and were given this land, that was theirs already by heritage, we recognize this as a partial fulfillment of Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. And so when you put these three reasons together, you can see why we as believers who believe in the Bible and the truth of God's word have such a love for the people of Israel, for the Jewish people, regardless of if that love is returned to us or not. It is a love for the Jews in obedience to God and his word and his plan for the ages. The first thing that this love and support for Israel does not mean is this. Some evangelicals, especially many from the Reformed or what it would be called the New or Neo-Reformed camp, take a different slant to the end time prophecies. rejecting their literal obvious meaning, saying that Israel is replaced entirely by the church and that those promises no longer apply to Israel, but to the church itself entirely. And that these prophecies were fulfilled already in the past. And God's plan for the church is different in the future. And Israel has no more plan, has no more place in the plan of God in the future. The actual view that comes, though, from the plain and simple reading of Scripture is that as far as a worldwide influence to point people to God through Jesus, Israel, especially due and mainly due to their rejection of Jesus, the Son of God, as their king and as their Messiah and as their prophet, priest, and king, has been set aside temporarily by God in uniting Jew and Gentile together as the church. And the church is now his new vehicle, or has been since the death of Christ and his resurrection and his ascension and the beginning of the church, as we see in Acts, the beginning of the book of Acts, that the church has now been given the task of what Israel was supposed to do, which was to be a light to the world and to draw people to God. Now he has brought us together, those Jews and those Gentiles who repent of their sin and believe in Jesus by faith, have therefore the task now to not just attract the world to God, but to go out into the world with his gospel message. And we are united as one people in God through being the church. But this does not negate God's political and spiritual plans for Israel. He still wants to call a remnant out from Israel during the period of what is described as the tribulation, the great tribulation, when God will judge the world for those 7 years. The church will already be in heaven, but God's going to be dealing with Israel and with the entire world with heavy judgment. And those spiritual plans for Israel and literal plans still have to be fulfilled in the future. For now, the church takes center stage and does the job of getting the message of God's love and salvation through Jesus out to the world. So what we understand is that Israel and church are two different entities in the spiritual and literal plans of God for the future in prophecy. And he has used them and will continue to use them in respective ways to glorify himself and to bring as many to salvation in Jesus as possible. A second thing that this love and support for Israel based on the biblical meaning of what's going on with Israel and how God has described it. There's a second reason or a second thing that it does not mean. And that is that anything and everything Israel does politically or even militarily is just blindly endorsed and promoted by Christians. That is not what this means. We love and support Israel because of the plans that God has for them. But God has judged Israel because of its systematic disobedience to God and for the rejection of Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and king, as we said before, and as their Messiah. In fact, today, most Israelis are very liberal in their thinking. They reject Jesus still, and they are still trying to live, many of them by the law, and many of them are intermarried with those who are non-Jewish, and so they are liberal spiritually, politically even in many ways, and stand in rejection of Jesus Christ as King and Lord. And they will continue to be dealt in a judgment way by God. Yet this does not change the overall work of God in and through Israel in the future to accomplish his purposes. In the end, we are still to support what God does and to love what God does. And God loves Israel, and God's going to work through Israel. Just as he's working now through the church, in the future, he's going to call a remnant out through those years of judgment upon Israel and the world, those 7 years in the tribulation period. And he is going to work through them, actually, to see many others come to Christ as Lord and Savior through Jewish people that will go out into the world, that 144,000 from all 12 tribes, and they will preach the gospel to the world. And so God loves Israel. Paul shared the same burden for Israel's salvation, repentance and salvation and faith in Jesus in Romans chapters 9 through 11 especially. And therefore, just as Paul, we also love Israel. And we want to see Israel come to Christ as Lord and Savior. We are to evangelize the Jew. We are to share the gospel with them, to show Jesus as their Savior and as their Messiah and Lord, and that they must put their faith in Him alone to be saved. Israel is still special to God, and therefore Israel is special to us, His people, the church. And we will support them. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as it says to do in the book of Psalms. We pray for their protection. We strongly support them and for their right to defend themselves against their enemies, and for the nation to repent of its sin and turn to Jesus as Messiah, and also for the Palestinian people to come to Christ as Lord and Savior. And those two, as is already seen in many parts over there already, that Israelis and Palestinians who have come to Jesus are one in Christ, and they are a part of the church, His body. Pray for our believers, fellow sisters and brothers in Christ, that are Palestinian and Israeli both, as they are suffering as well in this. And we want to pray for them and love them in Jesus. Well, I certainly hope that this has given you a greater understanding of what God's plan is for Israel and why we as Bible-believing Christians support Israel as strongly as we do and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for their salvation. Hey, would you do this? Would you like this episode and also share it with others? Subscribe to my channel and again, share this with others, text them the link, share it on social media and get the word out so that all of us together can know Jesus, know Him better, grow in Him, to have salvation in Him, and then to know what His word says on how we should believe and live. Thank you so much. And then share this with everyone you can. Invite others to come and know more about Jesus, about His word, about His truth, and about His love through this ministry, Truth Unbound. And remember, if you follow Jesus, you'll follow the truth.